Bibles, let's go to the book of Esther. The book of Esther. And if you're able, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. If you're here today and you're going through some stuff, and most everybody is, you think real hard about this message I'm getting ready to preach. Because I'm telling you right now, if you can just get to the King, everything will be all right. Amen. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what you're going through. If you can just get to the King, everything will be all right. Esther chapter 4, let's look at verse 14. Mordecai is talking to his niece, Queen Esther, at this time, and I'll go into this a little bit more. Haman has come up with a plot to try to kill all the Jews in the kingdom, and the only hope they got is if Queen Esther can go to the king. Back up to verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise unto the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return to Mordecai this answer: "Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." Let's pray. God, we love you. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. And God, we ask your hand to be upon us today. God, I pray right now, Lord, you would move in this church. You speak to each and every individual heart that's here, God. I pray for Christians right now, God, that might be going through hard times, Lord. God, help them. I pray for that when they might be lost today, God. If they're not saved, God, help them. God, we're going to praise you. We're going to honor you, God, for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you go back to the book of Esther, the first chapter, we find that the king, Ahasuerus, had this big party. He's invited people from all over the place, and he has invited his queen, Vashti, to come in. He basically calls for her to come in and dance before everybody, and she refuses to come in and dance before everybody, and basically he banishes her from the court. He takes counsel and some of the idiots that's with him, and basically banishes her from the court. And then in chapter, we find he's put her away. The Bible talks about in chapter 1, verse 19, "And if it please the king, let there go out a royal commandment from him, that it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it not be altered, that Vashti come no more before Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate to another that is better than she. And when the king's decree went, he shall make, shall be published throughout all the empire, for it is great. All the wives shall give to their husband's honor, both great and small." Basically what the folks told him, said, if your queen won't come and do what you say, then everybody else's wives are going to fall off and do what they want to do. So they make this law. He banishes the queen. And in chapter 2, he gets lonely. He wants another queen. So they had this big contest of who's going to be queen, and they call all the young maidens from all over the land. And this one Jew named Mordecai that's kind of up in the king's court, he talks his niece into getting into this contest. Her name is Esther. She's chosen to be the queen, her uncle Mordecai, and nobody knows that they're Jews. And God is moving in this, and God is putting them in positions to help. And then there's a guy named Haman. He's an enemy to all the Jews. He hates Mordecai, her uncle. Mordecai will not bow down to him because Mordecai's God said, you don't bow down to other people. You don't bow down to other gods. Mordecai will not bow down to him. Mordecai will not give in to him. So he hates Mordecai. He finds out that Mordecai is a Jew. So he goes before the king, and he basically has the king write a law that on a certain day that everybody in the land can turn on all the Jews and kill all the Jews and take everything they got. And the king writes it into a law. And all the Jews are in danger of dying because of the hatred of this man. Now I want you to just look at just a few things this morning. Sometimes God will put you in a position for a purpose. Amen. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 17, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set a royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Esther was not there by accident. Yes, Esther was probably a gorgeous woman. Yes, Esther probably outlooked everybody else. There was something about her that stood out to him. But she was not there just to be a queen, amen? She was there for a purpose. God had put her in that position for a reason. God's got you where he's got you at this morning for a reason. I don't know why you're going through what you're going through. I don't know why you're having to go through all you're going through. I don't know why God is moving in your life like he is. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, that all things work to good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. God's got a reason for everything that you and I go through. She was there for a reason. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, the Bible talks about as Joseph is talking to his brothers, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it to good to bring to pass at this day to save much people alive. Your job, your family, your current situation may not be what you think it ought to be, but God is moving you. God is positioning you because God's got a purpose in your life. Amen. We just got to be able to see it. No matter what we're going through, now listen, if you're saved this morning, no matter what we're going through, God's favor will find you. The Bible says in chapter 2, verse 15, now when at the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihai, the uncle Mordecai, who had taken her as a daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, had appointed, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. One preacher said one time, favor ain't fair. And God's favor ain't fair. David was talking about this a little bit this morning in Sunday school, about sometimes the consequences of sin. My consequence might be worse than yours, but some understands it. Just because when God puts favor on your life, it might, everybody else can look and say, why in the world are they so blessed? What are they doing to be so blessed? It might not be their job, nothing else, but God's got his hand on them right then. Favor. Even in the worst times of your life, you listen to what I'm saying, even in the worst times of your life, Brother Ed, you can still see God's favor on your life. I'm telling you right now, I can take you back to the times in my life that I thought was the worst time in my life. I can still see God's hand on it. I can take you back to the night when I was on the highway patrol and I got shot. I got hit twice with two bullets. I'm telling you, that it should have been a lot worse, but God's hand was on me, amen. I can take you back to the time that I had kidney cancer, but God's hand was on me. I'm telling you, if you love the Lord and you're called according to his purpose, it don't matter what you're going through, you'll be able to see God's favor in your life. Even in the worst times, even in the valleys, Brother Donald, we can see God's hand working in our life. Whew. Joseph had God's favor on his life. He told his brother, said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen. Job had God's favor on his life. He went through a hard time. He went through the most difficult time of anybody we find in the Bible. But chapter 42 was there. Okay? God's favor was on him. God brought him out. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I believe with all my heart that God's going to bring you out. You got God's favor on your life. Hey, if you're here and you're lost, if you'll come down to this altar, I'm telling you the favor of God arrests you. That's what we're talking about. The favor of God through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. That's the only way. Psalms 5, verse 12, for thou, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, will thou compass him as a shield. Psalms chapter 30, verse 5 says this, for his anger endureth for a moment, but in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Nothing, now you listen to me, nothing can stop the favor of God. I'm telling you, the devil throwed everything he had at Job. He throwed everything, Brother Robert, he had at Job. And Job come out of it in chapter 42 shining like gold. That's what the Bible says, glory to God. Don't you know when Job come out of that and God put his hand on Job again and started blessing Job again. Don't you know the devil just looked over at David and shook his head, said, I can't touch that. There ain't enough devils in hell to stop God's favor. Amen. She was there for a minute, for a purpose. The enemy, now listen, the enemy had a plot, but God had a plan. If you go back to Esther chapter 3, verse 5, and when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then Haman was full of wrath, and he sought to scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Assyrus, even the people of Mordecai. Satan used Haman's hatred to cause a plot against God's people. If you go back and study history, and I ain't got time to get into all this morning, there have been so many times over the years that Satan had a plot to destroy God's people. The last one that really took hold in our worldview was in World War II. We're talking about the Holocaust. 6 million Jews died. I believe that was a plot of Satan. If you go back and study out through the history, Satan had a plot, but God always had a plan. Amen. Haman, Satan is still seeking to destroy you and I. You and I are the children of God. Amen. You and I are the bride of Christ. And Satan is still seeking to destroy. The Bible says he's roaming about seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Job chapter 1, the Bible talks about how that Satan came before God and said, hey, what about Job? Let me just unleash on Job, and Job will curse you to your face. You go through the Bible. Jesus said, told Peter, he said, Satan desired to sift you as wheat, but I have been praying for you. Satan's after you today. What you're going through right now might be an attack from Satan. What you're going through right now, what you're going through right now could be your fault. Amen. But it could be an attack from Satan. Satan had a plot, but God had a plan. If he went after Job, Greg, why won't he'll go after us? If he went after Peter, why not you? What makes us think we're any better than anybody else? What makes us think that we shouldn't have to go through hard times in this life? Life's going to be life whether you're saved or lost. And it's all going to be tough, amen? But thank God we got somebody that's on our side. And when you got somebody that's on your side, just like Mordecai and just like Queen Esther, hey, glory to God, you ain't got to worry about the plot. You just trust in the plan, amen? God's got a plan. Silence is not an option. Now listen, I read this a while ago, chapter 4, verse 14. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise from the Jews from another place. In other words, Mordecai tells Esther, he said, if you don't do something right now, God's going to use somebody else. I'm telling you right now, when God's got his favor on his people, there ain't enough devils in hell to stop it. He tells Queen Esther, he said, if you don't stand up and you don't do something right now, God's going to bring deliverance from somebody else. Thank God, my God's still on the throne. It don't matter what's going on. Hey, I'm telling you right now, silence was not an option for her though. Now listen. He said, God's going to bring deliverance. He said, but you and your house will be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Mordecai tells her, don't hold back from your divine appointment. You are here now for such a time as this. I'm telling you right now, you are going through what you're going through right now for such a time as this. Every last one of us, God's got you here for a reason. You're going through this for a reason. And the thing about it is, silence is not an option. We just can't sit back and say, well, I'm just going to let God handle it. God might be got you here going through what you're going through to help somebody else. And we got to understand that. Everything works to good. Now, don't you know something? Courage is the key. Chapter 4, verse 14 and 16, I read a while ago. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. Now listen, and if I perish, I perish. Let me just stop and tell you this. There was a law that nobody could come into the presence of the king, Melvin, unless they were called. And if you came into the presence of the king without being called, it was a death sentence. The only thing that helped, the only thing that stopped, the king had a golden scepter that he would hold in his hand, Gavin. And when somebody walked in, if the king raised that golden scepter, Taylor, then they were able to come in. They were able to talk to the king. That's why she said fast. That's why she said, you fast. I'm a fast. We're going to fast. Because she was nervous, Brother Robert. She had not been called into the king's presence in over 30 days. She was a little bit nervous about going to the throne. Somebody in this building right now, you're a little bit nervous about coming down to this altar. You're a little bit nervous about coming into the kingdom. You're a little bit nervous about coming into the presence of God Almighty. The Bible says that you and I can come boldly to the throne of grace, amen. If you're saved, you ain't got to worry about it, amen. The king is ready. The king is wanting. The king wants you to come. It took a little courage for her to say, I'm going. But she went. But she went. The thing about it is, it takes a little courage sometimes to get out of that pew. Come down to this altar. Everybody's going to know that I'm dealing with something. My Lord, we all dealing with something. They going to think I ain't saved. I don't care. It don't matter. Don't matter what nobody in this building thinks about you. My Lord, you're trying to get to the king. You're trying to get to the one that can help you. You're trying to get to the one that can do something about your situation. And you worried about what everybody else is going to think? The woman with the issue of blood, Talbert, she wasn't worried about what everybody else was going to think. She was 12 years into this here nonsense. She was 12 years into this disease. The Bible talks about how that she was sickly. She didn't have nobody else to call to. And glory to God, she pressed through the crowd and got to Jesus. That's what you and I got to realize this morning. You just need to get to Jesus. We've all got such a time as this moment. And yours is right now. Think about that. What are you going through right now for such a time as this? She could have been killed, but she went on. And see, listen. She was going, Cody, on behalf of others. She wasn't just going for herself. Some of y'all need to realize it ain't only about you. It's about your family. It's about those just looking at you, those just watching you with everything that's going on in your life. And they're watching how you go through this. And the Bible talks about how that God blessed. God turned the table. Bible says in chapter 7, verse 10, so they hanged Haman. Sometimes it's just kind of hard not to get a little happy about some things. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Haman had got so bold that he thought he was second in command. Haman had got so bold that and I don't have time to really go back through the whole story, but Queen Esther called for a supper with only the king and Haman. And God turned the tables, and they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had made for Mordecai. God's ready to turn the tables into everything you're going on through right now. So let me get to the main part of the message. Now listen. How did all this take place? How did all this come about? It's because she got to the king. The title of the sermon is Take Me to the King. The Bible says, now listen. The Bible talks about how she came in before the king. And the king lifted that scepter and was happy to see her. She hadn't been there in a while, but he was happy to see her. She hadn't come into his presence. My God. Listen to this. Andy, she hadn't talked with him in a while. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. She hadn't talked with him in a while, Josh. But when she came into his presence, the scepter went up. He wanted her there. Some of y'all hadn't talked to him in a while. Some of you hadn't been in his presence in a while. Guess what? He wants you there. You got to understand something. If we'll just get to the king, chapter 5, verse 1 says this, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gated house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of his scepter. Then said the king unto her, now listen, hadn't been there in a while, hadn't talked to him in a while, Brother Donald. Look what the king said to her. What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee up to half of the kingdom. And you worried about getting to the king when he's got all that. Understand something, folks. Jesus Christ is king. Jesus Christ is king. And the Bible says, now listen, the Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ. Some of y'all know where I'm going with this. And when we come into his presence, Talbert, what do you need? What's your request? I got it. I got it up to half my kingdom. See, the problem is you and I think small when kings think big. Miss Jenny, I'm going to ask her to come on up. I'm going to tell you just one little illustration that I'm going to, how kings think. Somebody said, I think it was either Arnold Palmer or one of those old golfers, did something for somebody that was royal. And they asked him, what can I do for you? And this golfer just said, just give me a nice golf club. He was thinking like a Big Bertha or some fancy driver or whatever, you know. Next time he heard from the royal person, they had bought him a golf course. He got a golf club, all right, but it was the whole thing. See, some of y'all still thinking small. My situation's too far. My situation's gone too far for God to remedy it. No, it ain't. Because you're talking to the king. Well, my health has gone too far. No, it ain't. You're talking to the king. So I'm going to use Al for example this morning. Just a few years ago, a lot of folks said, well, you know, Al's gone too far. It just ain't going to work. No, we're talking to the king. What's your need this morning? And you understand this. If you can just get to the king, everything will be all right. I want you to bow your heads with me. Lord, we love you.